Well,
no?
So I have no clue about Inside Out.
No, dare you?
No. I only watched Inside Out
okay,
one.
Okay, fair enough.
But I remember it to be pretty good, but I watched it while that was damn long ago. I think I was back in army when I watched it with my bunch of guy friends. Don't judge me.
Which character do you most closely relate to as a student? Like for me, right, I was very like anxious. I was like always like worrying as a student, like, oh, did I study enough? How about you guys?
I think you need to run Clarence through what are the
no,
characters
I did,
first.
I did,
no.
You didn't see his research, don't worry.
I did, but I just don't know the names because, yeah. So I'm a calm student when I was taking my O-level examinations. But of course, that is only for prelims and O-levels when I'm more prepared. For the rest of the exams, my entire secondary school life, I wasn't that calm, but at the same time, I wasn't anxious because I guess I just couldn't, I didn't care as much for my exams back when I was a student. Yeah.
My state is sleepy state.
Okay, I mean, fair enough.
Yes, I was always sleeping in school because I'm tired. Okay, it's not because I was a bad student, I was just tired. I'm sure all of you are tired as well.
Okay, anyway, super good to hear from both of you again. And welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. Hope you got to hear a little bit more about what kind of students we were. Anyway, today we're actually going to talk about something super duper important because O-levels is coming up, right? So as you can see, the title is How to Achieve an L1-R5-6. For your O levels. And once again, let's welcome back Clarence.
Hello everybody, I am Clarence from Walmart and I teach secondary school math, both E-math and A-math, and I have 4 years of teaching experience already. And right now at Walmart, I have classes from Sec 1 all the way up to Sec 4, E-math and A-math.
And first question of the day is, okay, how did your O level experience go and what did you guys score? Maybe Clarence can start us off first.
Okay, so my O-level experience was actually a roller coaster, right? So as I mentioned earlier, right, I think I didn't care much about my studies my entire secondary school life. So all the way, maybe even up to Sec 4 mid-years, which means it's in June, right? So at the point in time, mid-years was still a thing. So It was still out of 100, so and so forth. I'm averaging an average of a C6 from all my subjects. So I took 9 subjects. And my L1-R5 is always above 20. So there's never a time where I scored below 20. So by right, a normal student that's taking O-levels should be very worried. But I think at that point in time, I just didn't really care much because I was just a very playful teenager. And then I started putting in more effort and I started studying for prelims and O-levels. And eventually, I was able to get a raw score of 7. And I was able to deduct four points, so I had a net score of 3. So I think that was a very fun experience for me, I would say. That's a story that I can tell to all my students to reassure them and to encourage them that to never give up, because it's always possible to go from a L1-R5 like 21 to 7 in maybe 6 months. But of course, it required me to put in a lot of effort. And funny thing is, I think Daryl is going to laugh at me for this, but I started listening in chemistry class for the first time after June holidays. And back at the time, it was revision, right? So I didn't know what was cation and anion. Like, I didn't know what it means. And in fact, I didn't even know how to pronounce, because I asked the teacher in class, in front of everybody, I asked, hi, what's the meaning of cation? So everybody was looking at me and asking me, what's cation? And that was when I realized, my friend whispered to me and he was telling me, oh, it's actually cation, it's not cation. Yeah, then that was when I realized that, okay, my chemistry is bad and I need to put in a lot of effort. So I was getting C6 and D7 for chemistry my entire life. Fortunately, I was able to pull it up to an A2 for O-levels. So I was pretty fortunate on that. And thankfully, that experience in class was a wake-up call for me to realize that, okay, I need to put in more effort for chemistry.
Yeah, I got a very funny story to share. This is the reverse, when I did too much chem. So you're saying you call it cation, right? Then I always call it cation, man. So there was once, right, my friend was telling me, hey, I'm going to go for a staycation. Then I'm like, what's a stay cation? Sorry, that's stupid. Okay. Anyway, the question was how I did for my O level. So I got 6A1, 2A2s, and 2B3s. So I pretty much, the B3 was the thing that killed me, because my B3 was for English and for higher Chinese. So my L1 R5 raw was 8 minus 4, but I had like 6 A1s, but no use. You must get your English right. Yeah, so that's for me.
Wow, a whirlwind of responses. Okay, anyway, next question is, you know, you've got so many stories, but like, how exactly did you study, you know, leading up to your O-levels? Was it stressful or were you, you know, quite chill about it, Clarence?
I think for me, it was quite stressful in the beginning, because given how behind I am in terms of the syllabus and the content-wise. So what I did was actually, I went to revisit all the topics in the textbook. I read my notes. I did all the topical revisions, especially for weaker topics such as my physics and chemistry. But luckily for me, I was able to pick up physics faster than chemistry. So by July, August, I was doing prelim papers, I was doing practice papers. And then for chemistry, I realized I wouldn't have the time to maybe go and revisit every topic in the textbook. So I went straight to doing practice papers as well. So I did like one paper every day for each subject, chemistry, physics. And for languages, I basically didn't touch lah, because in all honesty, I have no idea how to study for languages. And for my humanities, I took pure geog. So it was very content heavy. I wasn't listening in class, so I have no clue what the teachers were talking about. But what I did and what I found useful for myself was that I rewrote all the notes out, even it means it was just a copying from the textbook, copying from my notes. Like I made my own form of notes in different inks, different highlighters, so and so forth into a book. Essentially, it's just copying the entire textbook out. And I know a lot of students may not think that this is effective, but it worked out well for me because I guess it sort of forms a muscle memory for me. So when I write out the content, I can remember it in the exam easily as well. So it was a very tiring process, but all I did was really studying from July to prelims, because I knew that prelims was my last chance to prove myself and to maybe see where I truly stand in terms of my maximum potential. So I studied very hard for prelims, and once I got my prelim results, it wasn't the best. I got 11 or 12, I can't remember, but it's definitely better than my previous results. And from there, I knew that, okay, I just need to maintain this level of effort, or maybe just do more revision, and I will definitely do better for my O-levels. So it really took me a lot of practice, especially for all the topics that I'm very bad in. But of course, having said that, it's not like I study until 2, 3 a.m. every day. Like, I don't believe in that, because the next day I have to go back to school. So I need to ensure that I have sufficient rest. So I would say that what I did right was to really maximize my free time, which means I deleted Instagram, I deleted YouTube, I deleted Mobile Legends, everything. And I really focused on studying, and I took minor breaks in between, but it wasn't to like play games or to watch a YouTube video, because it would take too much time. Yep. So that was my experience preparing for O-levels.
Yeah. For me, I vividly remember there was a very big adjustment for me, because throughout my Sec 3 and I would say first half of Sec 4, I was very invested in floorball, right? That's my CCA. I was playing club outside. I was playing youth team. But this really took a change, because by the time it hit June, was a hard stop for me, right? Like all the competitions ended. I forced myself to go into study mode. What I found to be really a difference maker was just getting into the regular cadence of it. Meaning I started like, okay, I'm going to study this week, maybe 4 hours. And I tried to really build from that to develop that stamina that's needed. So I think what a lot of students at this point in time need to understand, right, is that you really don't have that much time till your O-level. But the good news is that there is still time. However, the longer you procrastinate, the longer that you're going to wait, you're going to realize that time is running out, right? Time is ticking, but you're not taking action. So no matter how small it might be, like even if it's 1 hour or 2 hours a day, right? Go and clock those hours. And then the next week, try to clock a little bit more, maybe 2 hours, 2.5, maybe 3. You'll start to see after you get into the routine, once you develop the correct habits, you realize that actually it's not that difficult to be sitting down to be studying for that amount of time. It's just a very intimidating thought at the start, because you haven't gotten started at all. Now, in terms of exactly what you should be doing at this point in time, I strongly believe if you're in the period before your prelim, do prelim papers. The prelim papers will be automatically the best thing you could do for preparation. So right now, even for my own individual group tuition classes, we're just doing prelim papers. Every week, one paper in, mark it, go through, mark, go through, we keep going, right? Because this is about a volume game. The more you do, the more the questions will look familiar, the better prepared you will be for prelim. And through all of this, you're able to spot if there's any misconception, any part of your understanding of certain concepts being lacking, you're able to catch your areas of weakness and for you to go and improve upon them. The moment you go past the prelim period, especially for Sec 4s, which means you are approaching the September holiday and September period, I advise you make the transition towards TYS. So at that point in time as a student, what I did a lot was to go practice my topical and yearly TYS. Why? Because Cambridge is the examiner, right? So if you really want to get a hang of how questions are set, the difficulty level that is being pitched at, it's only smart for you to attempt the previous year's paper. And I'm pretty sure that all Sec 4s right now do have your TYS. But the big question you need to ask yourself is, have you done it? Right? If you haven't, you're setting yourself up to not perform well. Right? If you do your TYS, no matter what, right, you will improve. It's just about how meticulous you are about learning effectively. Are you doing your corrections? Are you reviewing your mistakes? Right? So a lot of us think about it when we say study, we just think of it purely quantitative, like how much time am I spending studying? But another way to think about it is within this 2 to 3 hour block that you set aside for your revision, how effective is it? Right? So you also need to, like what Clarence mentioned, his own personal know-how is he like to copy the notes, because that is a form of, like, you know, transferring knowledge, and he's able to retain that through that process. It worked for him, it might work for you, right? But it might not work for everyone. So it's also about understanding your own learning style and developing a strategy that works for you. But minimally, prelim papers and TYS is a must. If you don't do that, it's really you're not doing yourself a favor.
So sounds like, to summarize it up, right, Clarence's take on how he studied for O-levels was to really set aside time to study and then to put away all distractions. And then from Daryl's end, it's mostly about, you know, like drilling, practicing, making sure that you clock in those hours to do effective studying, basically. And actually, Daryl, what you mentioned, you know, about the resources leads me to my next question. You know, what other resources can we use to study in the lead up to the O-levels?
So personally for me, when I was preparing for my exams, what I mainly used were my textbooks, practice papers from different schools. They can be given by my school teachers. I can find it on my own on the internet. If not, I would be using assessment books, because at that point in time, I didn't have any tuition. So I wasn't in any tuition classes or any private tuitions. So I was relying on my own to make sure that I get the content into my head and to understand the concepts. So for all the O-level students out there, I would recommend you to maybe start with prelim papers, or if you are weak in certain topics, you can always do topical revisions through assessment books, or you can redo the questions in the school textbooks as well. So I agree with Daryl about the TYS portion. So I personally also believe that students should only focus on your TYS after the prelims to prepare yourself for O-levels. Because there is a certain difference in standards between the prelim papers and your TYS. And sometimes the difference can be quite big depending on the school that you're in. So you should only start on TYS after your prelims are over. And a lot of students think that they don't have enough time. But if they really put in the effort and they really allocate the time to do, it's more than enough time to finish your TYS. So on top of that, of course, if you are struggling on your own, or you find it very difficult to study on your own, or to understand complex concepts on your own, we can always join Overmark for a free trial class. If not, we also have our free notes online. We have crash courses in line for everybody. So always seek help if you find it very difficult to study on your own, I would say, because it's only about 4 more months. So just persevere for the last 4 more months, and I'm sure everybody will do well for their O-levels.
I think Clarence covered a lot of points on, like, just being resourceful in general. You can ask your teachers for more papers. You can go online to look for it. On our Overmark website and Telegram channel, we have like plenty of free notes. But I think the other angle that I want to come from is, like, I believe it's very important for you to have what I call a source of truth. Now, your source of truth can be your school notes. It can be your textbook. It can even be like your friend's school notes. Doesn't really matter. But you need to start having this idea that you cannot have your notes everywhere, because at a certain point, right before your prelim, the day before, you really need to start cramming in some of the knowledge. You have to go to this one source of truth that contains everything that you need to know. So for my own students, what we do is that because they have the curated notes that we prepare made for them, so it's like one entire booklet, everything that you need to know is inside. So I throughout the year, as we're going through all the different chapters, I get them to annotate, add in extra pointers, tips, and exam techniques and stuff like that into this booklet, so that when it comes to 1 to 2 days before the exam and they need to revise, there's this one single booklet that they can refer back to that contain everything that they have studied before. Because if you leave your resources too widespread, that means you have like a bit of a guidebook here, you have your school notes, you have your textbook, it's very hard to revise efficiently. So if you're at this stage and whatever I said is literally what's happening to you, you have like 3 to 4 of the same thing, I suggest you consolidate them. Decide which is the one that is like the best, then you add on your other stuff into this one source of truth. So that by the time it comes to prelim, O level, you don't have to dig around or to find or to organize on the spot all of these materials that you need to study. They are all already collated in one single place. If you need to, I personally don't recommend redoing your notes because I think that's very time consuming. But for some people, they find that to be effective for learning, then sure, go ahead. But for me, I'd rather be more efficient, right? So if my school notes are not good, I don't whine about it. Why? Because I can be resourceful. I can look for notes online. I can also maybe get my friend's school notes, or you can just buy a copy of old Mark's curated notes, right? That solves the problem. But let's say you only have your school notes, use that, improve that. I would say that is really the most important thing that I want to warn a lot of students moving towards the exam period especially.
Yeah, sounds like very good tips and resources that are out there, definitely. So, I mean, take charge of your learning, especially in the lead up to the O-levels. And with that, we will be going for a commercial break and we'll see you guys in the second half.
Hi everyone, if this is your first time tuning into our podcast, welcome! Overmark is one of Singapore's fastest growing secondary and JC tuition brand. We're located all across Singapore, including locations like Kovan, Bukit Timah and Marine Parade. If you're curious about the learning experience here at Overmark, sign up for a free trial lesson anytime. And with that, back to the podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Anyway, the next question that I have is really for students who are trying to mentally prep themselves for this very intense period coming up towards the O-levels. So the question is, how can students increase their productivity and really mentally and emotionally prepare themselves for the O-levels?
So I think the most important thing is, of course, to allocate your time wisely, which means you plan your timetable, your study plan for daily or weekly, efficiently, such that you are able to cover all the topics or all the subjects consistently. So one misconception, or rather what worked out for me that might not work out for other people, is that I believe in studying every subject every day, which means I don't do like, oh, Monday math, Tuesday science, Wednesday geog, so and so forth. Because what I believe in is, if I were to practice a bit, just a bit, maybe like 30 minutes, 45 minutes of math every day, that is better than 4 hours a week. So like, instead of every Monday I do math every day. So I spread out the learning across, and I do make sure I do it every day. I think that is more efficient, and even if it's a shorter period of time, it's fine. A few questions or practices are good enough, and eventually you'll realize that if in the past you took 2 hours to finish one paper, after some practice you will be able to finish it in 1 hour. Because of the amount of practice that you have been putting in consistently every day. So in the past when I was studying, I had this friend who was struggling with pulling up his grade because he was consistently stuck at, I think, the range of B3 to A2, and he couldn't break through to A1. So he was asking me, oh, how many papers am I doing every day? I said, I did like one physics, one AMF, one EMF. Then he was asking me, like, do I have 48 hours a day? Because like, how is it possible that I can do so many papers in one day? I think most important thing is, when you are preparing for O-levels or when you're studying, you need to put aside all distractions. So that includes things like, for example, checking your phone messages, scrolling social media. I mean, all these takes just like 5 to 10 minutes. But when you do that, you are breaking out from that deep focus mode that you were in. So you really need to sit down there and be very, very focused when you're doing your work. So in this way, you can finish your work very quickly. You can make sure that you are doing everything correctly. You understand the question. You can remember all the concepts that you were learning before and apply them correctly. So I think that is very important. And also remove all the distractions. Like, for example, for me, I was very addicted to Mobile Legends, right? I played that like every other day. So I knew that session, like one session would take like a few hours, 1 to 2 hours. And that's too much time. That's like one paper. So I removed the game completely, I deleted it, I make sure that instead of spending that 2 hours playing, I use it to study, if not to rest my mind. Because I think at this juncture, when you're 4 months into O-levels, you really need the energy, you really need to focus every day, and you can't take a break a day and say like, oh, okay, I don't feel like studying today. I mean, we don't have that much time anymore. Not saying that you have to slog your entire 4 months away into studying. I mean, you can take a break once or twice, but not like a full entire day of non-studying. So I think you really need to do that, remove all distractions, even though it can be very painful. And of course, second thing, what really helps me to increase my productivity was to find a motivation. So because for me, when I'm motivated to do something, I think I'll put in a lot of effort. I'll really make sure I do my best to ensure that I achieve my goal. So I set myself a target, or rather my family member set myself a target. So it was for a material reward. So it might not work for everybody, but at the end of the day, I think you should really go and find this target that you want to achieve and maybe just motivate yourself so that you will actually put in more effort or put in your 100% to achieve that goal.
Okay, for me, I'd like to bring up this concept, delayed gratification. Now, how can you apply it to you going to your exam soon? I'm not saying that, you know, life is all about studying, no play. I don't like that. I don't believe in that. I don't encourage that. But I think what Sec 4s or anybody that's approaching their exam season soon, what you should understand is that you're not really foregoing your life. You are just having a different approach. You are delaying all of these gratifications only after you finish your O-level. So I always tell my Sec 4s, now's the time to grind, right? Now's the time to work hard. So that after you finish your O-levels, you have absolutely no regrets and you can go and play as hard as you want. There's a time set aside for studying and working hard. There's a time set aside for playing. So it's just really about the order of which comes first. So a lot of us, we're very used to this idea of like instant gratification. Meaning I want something, I open up my social media, I instantly get the hit of dopamine, right? I immediately feel good. I want all of this instantaneously. But the best things in life are usually the ones where you need to work for it. The fact that you have to work very hard to get your good O-level results, make your O-level results the day when you receive it even sweeter, right? Because it's something that is delayed. It's not a concept that occurs to us instantly. Like, we don't get it right away. But the stronger you're able to embody the concept of delayed gratification, you realize that your mindset when it comes to a lot of things will start to change, right? I'm willing to work harder now because the reward in the future is greater. I don't take the shortcut. I don't take the easy way out. I don't jump to my games. I don't spend time or I don't procrastinate. Why? Because those are all instantaneous. It gives you very short-lived happiness, not a long-term thing. So that's the first thing I like to bring up. Second thing I want you all to think about is the concept of protected time. So let's say in a day, realistically, you have 4 hours, right? And in a week, including your weekends, let's say you have up to 30 hours of studying. Maybe that's a bit too much, could be 20. Doesn't really matter. But I want you to think of it in terms of percentages. Take a moment to think, your L1, R5 or your L1, R4, which are most likely going to be the subjects that you'll be using to tabulate your score? I want you to look at where you are currently and the score that you are intending to hit. Which subject requires the most amount of work? Meaning, right now, I kind of want to get an A2 for that, but I'm all the way at a D7. Versus another subject where you are aiming for A1 and you're currently already at an A2. I want you to understand this, that you should be focusing on the subject that needs the most help. So if you have 100% of your time, you want to be allocating maybe 30% to this subject. And for the subject that you are almost getting it there, you know, just need a little bit more, you'll be allocating slightly lesser time because you're almost there. So by breaking down the time exactly, every week I should be spending 5 hours on chem, 3 hours on AMF, 4 hours on English. And you make sure that there's always this protected time every day from 9:30 to 11:30. Nobody, I will not touch my phone. Nobody disturbs me. I'll just be in my zone. I'll be completing work. On the weekends, from this timing to this timing, I'll only be studying. Nobody can tell me to do otherwise. My family tell me to go out. No, I tell them cannot. This is my protected time for studying. But you can also have protected time for rest, right? So if you accomplish your work in the day, you didn't procrastinate because when it came to doing work, you did it. It's time to rest. So maybe on your Saturday night, you give yourself a solid 2 hours of Netflix. And that is your protected time to de-stress, right? To release all of the hard work that you've done for the day. I think that's fine. But all of this is very deliberate. It's not happening by chance. It's not like, okay, today, what should I do? No, you should have a very clear plan on what you need to work on, starting from the one that needs the most help, followed by the ones that needs the least. But no matter what, you're still allocating the appropriate amount of time. That's how you optimize leading up to O-level. Okay, if I can give you all one last secret tip, right? In your protected time, if you're taking O-level and prelim soon, I highly recommend time practices. because time practices forces you to complete that paper. Let's say you only got 2 hours. Math paper, long, right? Your math paper 1-2 hours, ma. Done, right? So the whole idea here is that you force yourself that I cannot leave my seat until I finish this paper. Two things that is fantastic about this. One, you confirm clock the practice and you're going to do it quite fast, right? Because it's an exam setting. Second, you can practice your time management. So in a real life exam, you'll find like, oh yeah, actually I'm okay because I already know how fast or how slow to be going. So I think that that could really be a very important tip that a lot of students right now need to hear.
Okay, last and final question for the day. Very controversial. We really need your opinion on this. Let's say O-levels is 4 months away and I'm still really doing badly for some subjects. Should I ditch them, not study for them, and just focus on those I'm going to use for my L1, R5?
Personally, for me, I think that was a method that I adopted when I was studying from O-levels because I had 9 subjects. So I had 2 humanities, 2 sciences, 2 maths, and English, Higher Chinese, and Chinese. So for those that are unaware, for your R5, it has to contain 1 humanities, 1 science, 1 math, and your best other 2 subjects. So, which means out of my 2 humanities, 2 science, and 2 math, I can just choose 1 of each, and then I'll have my 2 best. So for humanities, I took pure geog and combined history and SS. So what I know for those that are taking combined humanities is that you need to both subjects to do well so that you can get an overall grade of A1. So even if your history is very good and your social studies is not very good, you might not be guaranteed that A1. So that means I have to study for 2 subjects for the grade of 1. So to me, both were equally bad. I was scoring D7 for both. But what I knew was that I just need to study for geog. And if I do well for geog, I'll get A1 for geog. Or maybe A2 for geog, right? So I focused on geog instead. I completely dropped off history and social studies. Not that I'm encouraging students to do that, but it's really because if you have limited time left, you can take a risk like that and make sure that you put in your 100% for the subject that you are choosing, which in my case was geog. So I didn't touch history, I didn't touch social studies, and I only read the textbook the day before the exams to make sure I don't get an F9 or D7. And then for the rest of the subjects, really, you just need to determine what you can give up and what you cannot give up. So like, for example, for those that are taking Higher Chinese, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. A lot of students think that their Higher Chinese is very good, so they're going to use it for the L1. But if they use Higher Chinese for L1, their Chinese can't be in R5. And normally, if you're taking Higher Chinese, your express Chinese is usually your A1. And that 1 point is very helpful in your R5. So I would say you should really focus on English instead to make sure that you can use English for L1 such that you can have that A1 Chinese for your R5. But of course, if you are guaranteed to have 5 A1s for your R5, you can just focus on the Higher Chinese. So I would say you can take that risk, but make sure that you really put in the effort to study for the subjects that you chose for. And of course, for those students that are in Sec 2 going to Sec 3 next year, when you're choosing your subject combination, choose wisely. Because I have a lot of students that only has 1 humanities because they took triple science. Not saying that you can't take triple science, but if you only have 1 humanities, that has to be combined humans, which means you're studying for two subjects for the grade of 1. So whether or not that is worth it to you, I'm not sure, but I would say choose wisely. Yep.
For me, I'll make this clear. I think your L1, R5 is obviously the priority plus 1 safety. Now, I'm not too sure if this is a luxury because it really depends on the number of subjects that you're taking. But it is okay to give up on a certain subject if you know absolutely that there's no way in hell that's going to go into your L1, R5. I think that's the only scenario. Now, the way I like to put it is this. It really depends on what is the gap you need to close, right? So let's say if currently that one subject is an F9, then realistically, there's no way to put it into an A1, A2 range for your R5, then I say it makes sense, right? It's justifiable that you give up on it. But at the same time, right, I want to just warn everybody first, because there's a good chance a lot of you tuning into this podcast, you're probably aspiring to go to a JC. So let's say right now, hypothetically, your AMF is trash, right? You're still failing AMF, but you have the intention to move on to JC, which means you'll be taking H2 math if you enter the science stream. You can't just give up on your AMF. Why? Because JC math requires a strong understanding of your additional math. So if you don't have a math foundation there, you're going to suffer in JC. So what that means is that you should be putting more work into getting your a math up and running rather than to say that, oh, I'm just going to give up on it. So 2 considerations, whether you'll be using it in your L1, R5, plus you kind of want to think 1 step ahead if you're going to JC if there is any repercussions for completely giving up and not having the foundation for those subjects. I think that's my best advice.
Yeah, sounds like it really helps to frame, you know, your decision making. Hopefully, whoever asked the question, you know, this was answered. And hope you guys are also able to learn more from the study tips that Darren and Clarence shared today. But if you have any questions about this topic or other future topics, feel free to reach out to us and ask us to cover it. We'll be more than happy to. And with that, we've come to the end of today's podcast. Stay tuned for the very next one. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.